You brought something to write with. I want to give you something that's not on your outline. This will help us in our Bible study, but it'll also help us to understand the bigger picture of things, of how the Spirit of the Lord works in our lives. How many know, and I'll tell you what to write down here in a minute, I just want to kind of get started this evening. How many know that we would not be able to enter into the things of God if it had not been for grace? So the first thing that I want to give you as something to jot down, write this down. Grace qualifies you for the race. Grace qualifies you for the race. Remember how in the scriptures Paul mentioned to us that we should run this race? And he's talking about having a purpose while you're in running, not just as one beating the air, doing nothing at all. We understand the terminology of running and racing and all of those things, but I want you to understand how this thing gets started. Number one, grace is the qualifier that puts us in this race. Secondly, how many of you have watched NASCAR or seen any kind of automobile racing of any kind, whether it be a dirt track, NASCAR, anything like that? If I said the word pace car, everybody know what I'm talking about. They cannot get ahead of the pace car. The pace car is on the track to set the pace of the race for that time. Now, eventually, that pace car in the race moves, and they all get to go at their own. But I want to give you this to write down. The Holy Spirit is our pace setter. Now, it's going to be different than in the real races we watch on TV and stuff, because the Holy Spirit is not to be removed. You have to have Him. Grace qualifies you for the race. So unlike NASCAR, we're not qualifying. We can't do time lapse and qualify. Grace puts us in the race, every one of us. The Holy Spirit is our pace setter. You cannot afford to get ahead of Him, and you cannot afford to be behind Him. You need to be right on pace with Him. And I will say this, the Holy Spirit is moving in each of our lives, and He will be doing different activities and works within each of us at different places. So you don't need to be discouraged if you haven't memorized 25 or 50 scripture verses yet and can rattle off all the verses. Maybe the Holy Spirit is pacing you at the time of just hearing the word first. Then He'll move you into another area. So don't look at your brother or sister and say, man, they're really far ahead of me. No, you have to stay with the pace of the Holy Spirit in your life, and He's always going to keep you at the right pace to grow the thing God wants you to grow in. So we've got grace and we've got the Holy Spirit. Obedience in God's word and deed determines our finish. Now, we understand that if there's 50, 60, 70 cars on the track, at the end of the race, depending on how they come across the line, determines the place number. God is not looking at place numbers like we do. He's not going to qualify you and say, you're number one, you're number two, I'm number three, anything like that. But if we finish for the Lord Jesus, it will be done through obedience. You get on the track by grace. You stay on the track and on course by the Holy Spirit. You finish the race by being obedient in word and deed. Word and deed covers everything in your life. You're either going to be speaking something or doing something. And so those three things, that's just free. The Lord gave me that today, so I give it to you free. Now let's get in and do just a little bit of review. I'm going to get down to the third bullet point. Yeah, currently right now, we have one teacher for the young preschool age kids. Any other volunteers that want to be a teacher? Sister Janet was teaching the teenagers and young adults. So we need somebody to pray about that, and then we can have another class on Wednesday night. But you won't be left out in our Bible study. This is very good for all of us. Let's review real quick. The first part of this lesson, obviously, the title of this is the book of Acts. Acts is about things going on and being done. The book of Acts. There's many acts that take place in the book. But the situation is we cannot be called just to action. We need to be powered by the Holy Spirit in what we do. If we leave the Holy Spirit out of the book of Acts, we've got a lot of things that man could receive credit for. And no place in there does God allow that to happen. He allows only His Holy Spirit to be the power and the force that does the mighty things that we know of in the book of Acts. So what I want us to be focusing on is we've been doing a Bible series. The study has been revealing some things to us. The first place of the bullet point is we need to realize and understand that through the Scriptures, God has books of records in heaven on each of us. Now, if you were ever concerned about bringing home a report card to your parents, I want you to think on the day that all of the books get opened up on your life in heaven. And the Bible verifies that there is books of records on my life and your life. And at that point, no individual can take anybody else's place and say, but I'll cover for them or that. We stand alone as the book of records are open. That needs to bring to our attention that if the book of Acts is full of acts of God, powered by the Holy Spirit, what in your lifetime is the Lord going to be able to reveal unto you and in heaven that was fueled by the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts of your life? So that is, there's three verses in the outline, Revelation 20, verse 12, Psalm 69, verse 28, and Daniel 12, verse 1, and there's others in Scripture that verify there are records being kept in heaven. We already mentioned that the records are not being kept because God has a bad memory. He knows you. But God is a just and fair God, and He has the same record books on each of us, and they will be for our account, not for His account. The second bullet, knowing that the records speak to us about being sober. The record books ought to speak to us and say, I want to be found doing what God wants me to do. So then that brought us to Colossians 3:17 and 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12, which talks about word and deed. And then in Corinthians, it begins to show us that whatever we build on the foundation of Jesus, He's always got to be the foundation. You have ingredients such as wood, straw, and hay. Then you can have gold. You can have precious stones. These are all building materials on the things of God. And we understand that God can work miracles in our lives. And that talks about being sincere and honest and taking all of the motivation away from us that would be wrong. All of us could stand up, shake hands, hug necks. All of us could read a scripture verse tonight. All of us could do what we're asked to do tonight. But the thing that's different for each of us is what motivated you. If you're not motivated out of the love of Jesus, if you're not motivated out of the things of God, come on, guys, let's sit down, please. If you're not motivated out of the heart to love Him, we could sing all the songs we want to. We could build the biggest list of ministry and say we're going to check off everything we do. But what's going to be revealed in heaven is the motivation of what the heart is. And remember, the Bible says that the heart is the most deceiving part of us. So we can mouth good gestures. We can do good things to one another. But God truly knows why and what the reason is behind it. Many times in the society that we live in today, we understand what it is to do something good for somebody, and in the back of our spirit and mind, We're saying if I will do something good to this person, then I'm expecting on the backside something good to come my way. But God speaks to us about a type of love that is referred to as an unconditional love. It's a measure that was given to every sinner before the sinner ever responded. God loved us each one the same, and we're to love the church and be loved in the church like God loves his family. And so we can't conditionalize what we do, service, word, or any other thing. We need to be in line with the word of God. How many of you want the rewards that God has for you when you get to heaven? I mean, if God has stored up many great things for us, how many want to receive all you can get from him? Because every gift that God gives is not going to be something that you turn around after Christmas, after somebody gave you a gift, and say, well, I really didn't want that one. I'll go and get me an exchange. I don't believe there's going to be one thing that God gives to us in heaven that you'll want to exchange, because he knows you and he personalizes every touch and every gift that he's ever given. So this Bible study and this Bible series is to engage us to be in the right attitude and the right spirit about living and serving a loving God. And there is a statement that I've been wanting to get to, and tonight we're going to get on to it. But I don't believe I'll be able to finish it because there's much scripture text to read about this. But there is a statement that needs to be burning deep in your spirit, because you need to be longing for these words to be said by the Heavenly Father. And that statement is, well done. He's not going to say well done talking about a steak or a piece of meat. He's talking about us. He's talking about, he wants to say this to his children. The Father's heart wants to tell every one of his children, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we look into the Word of God like we're going to, I have to tell you the truth. Not every person who says, Lord, Lord, not every Christian who calls themselves by title name a Christian is going to hear these words from God the Father. So you need to understand that God is not going to overlook and say, well, I just love the world and I'm going to blindly accept everybody. No, he paid an awful price for people to walk through the open door that Jesus gave to them to walk through, that they could enter in and eat of the good of the land. And we have to remember that even in today's life, even in all of the messages that are being preached today about how much God loves, and he does, a loving God is a just God. A loving parent is a disciplining parent. A loving God is going to chasten those he loves and correct and be able to rebuke and exhort and do all of these things. So he is going to face a time when some are going to want to hear the statement, well done. And it's not going to be said. So it ought to shake up our spirit and say, God, I don't want to be in that category. I want to be in the category that receives the well done statement. I want to be there. How many want to be in that group where God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant? It can be done. It can be done. It can be you. It can be me. And God wants it to be. Now let's look in the scriptures tonight. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number... Actually, I'm going to back up Matthew 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. This would be good. This is a starting point for all of us in this Bible series, but it would be good for you to write down the statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and track in your Bible and find out, number one, who is the only one who can say that statement? And then how many times is it talked about in the Word of God, and how important is it for that statement to be said over your life? There are not going to be these little ideas of barely making it into heaven. and all these things. You're either in or you're out. You're either there or you're not. You're either of God or you're not of God. There is no middle of the road, one foot in, one foot out. God is not going to pull your arm the rest of the way into heaven. When we stand before Him, you've either made it or you have not made it. And it's by what we do in the grace of God, how much we allow the Holy Spirit to be the pace in our life, and then it's up to us about the obedience. How many times do you want to obey God, and how many times do you refuse to obey God, that will qualify and tell you whether or not you finish out the race? Because obedience is that finishing part of the race. And can I tell you where the church is right now? The church is in the place. See, we've already had the grace. Jesus is grace. He was here. He gave us the grace door. He opened it up. The Holy Spirit has already been sent. The whole book of Acts was waiting on the Holy Spirit to be sent. The Holy Spirit was here. The Holy Spirit is with us. But now the third and final place of the church is down to the place of obedience. And we are in that place where God is testing and trying every one of His children, and the church that calls themselves the Church of the Living God. It is in the place of obedience that we're now at. And so those that are disobedient, those that are choosing not to obey the Spirit of God, those who are choosing to avoid the Word and don't want to read the Word and don't want to hear the Word, disobedience is moving you away from the well done statement that God wants to say to us. Look at Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me. Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I want you, if you're okay with underlining or highlighting in your Bible, I want you to underline, to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said this before He was baptized. Basically, He said He is fulfilling before He ever started. He was all the way 100% committed. He is going to finish, and we know that He did finish the race that God gave to Him. But I need us to understand, to fulfill all righteousness. Then it goes on and it says, Then He suffered him, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, now listen to what happens. Lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. And, verse 17, here comes the voice. And the voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Even Jesus needed to hear those words from His Father. And so He is the inspiration. He is the beginning of grace moving upon us that we too will follow in obedience. See what Jesus was saying about, For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was telling us how we fulfill righteousness in our life. It is through obedience. It is through obedience. And so if you're wondering, what is righteousness? It's obeying God. Righteous living is obeying God. It has nothing to do with your clothing. It has nothing to do with the way you look. It has to do with obeying God. Jesus was saying, I need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And He steps up and He convinces and lets John know this has to be done. And it was done. The Lord's voice heard from heaven, This is My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. People can disappoint us, and they have. We have disappointed people. We have disappointed ourselves. But the one place that we cannot afford to let words escape us is when it comes to the Lord saying, Well done to you and I. We need that statement in our spirit and in our life. All right, let's go on.
What is righteousness?
God. Righteousness is not an obtainable thing that you can tangibly touch and do. When we talk about the righteousness of the Lord, we are talking about being a committed disciple, that when the Holy Spirit has the freedom inside of us to say whatever He needs to say at the moment, righteousness is obedience to the Word. Righteousness is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is obedient to the spiritual gifts that God has placed within us and for the church. So, let me give you this, because the Holy Spirit gave me this earlier tonight. Righteousness is birthed in the most intimate relationship with the Lord. That's your prayers. Your prayers. Your prayers birth righteousness inside of you. Because what righteousness is hearing the voice of God. Not audibly. I'm not telling everybody you got to hear God speak just like I'm speaking. But God will touch the heart. Even if you've never been taught right from wrong, God's word divides even between the bone and the marrow. So His word is the right and wrong message of our heart. Righteousness is following Christ in right action. Righteousness is following Christ in right action, which is part of our Bible study, words and deeds. Your words need to be of the righteousness of God. Your deeds need to be of the righteousness of God. So we need, if that's true, and each of us know that the flesh within us will not talk correctly, and James tells us all that our tongue is full of deadly poison, a small member of the body. So this is telling us and pointing us how important it is to have a prayer life. Because if you never talk to the Lord, if you never talk to Him and spend intimate minutes with Him, just like you do any other friendship, then righteous acts following after Christ is not going to be in you. Because we have to hear from Him. We have to understand from Him. Does that help? Okay. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at the situation. Jesus is teaching us. He's talking in chapter 25 of Matthew. We're talking about hearing the statement at the time when we have to stand before God. Well done. Now let's break this down, and I'm going to go through this and take time to do a little teaching. And beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, I can't, no. Lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So you see a door open, and you hear a door shut. There's going to be that voice that says, well done, enter in, and you get to go through the door. For others, they had no oil. They had to leave, and by the time they came back, they came to a shut door. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now they know him to be Lord, but he is not their Lord. People know there is a God. Many people profess and claim that they believe in Jesus. But there is a place in the scripture right here where they left, and by the time they came back, the door had been shut, and they were saying on the outside of the door, Lord, Lord, open to us. And listen to what Jesus says. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Just as important as it is for us to have in our spirit longing for the words, well done, thou good and faithful, enter in. The very opposite of that is to one day hear God have to say, I did not know you. If you've ever been rejected by anybody, you know how tragic that feels. But imagine what it will be like if you skip out and shortchange the things of God. All 10 virgins had a lamp. All 10 virgins knew about the wedding day coming. All 10 virgins heard, get ready. They all started out. It's like the scripture that says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I don't believe I'll take anything away from the word of God and say they carried their Bibles, but they never opened it. Five of them were wise enough to read between the pages of Genesis to Revelations. And the other five were just in it enough to know they needed to carry a Bible. I need to go to church. I know I'm supposed to go. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to talk to the Lord. I know I'm supposed to do this and supposed to do that. That's not good enough. You might think, well, you're being a little tough on the teaching tonight. No, because I don't want you to ever hear the words have to be said to you from the Lord. Not from me, but from the Lord, who says, I never knew you. Because you'll never get into the kingdom of God after that. And so the difference is, remember that we're talking about the book of Acts, powered by the Holy Spirit? We need to be powered by the Holy Spirit. He's our oil. He is the motivation in us to do all good works and good deeds. Let's keep going. He splits it down. Now he goes to basically round two. And he presents it a different way. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants. Notice he says he called his own servants. And delivered unto them his goods. Really, the church really needs to get a hold of this. Number one, we're his servants. And number two, the goods belong to him. Let's not take credit for anything that belongs to God. Any ministry that God has, let's give him glory for it. Anybody that has a changed life, it's because of the Holy Spirit. We may have been a vessel that God spoke through to encourage somebody, but when you see life change in them, give God credit and do not allow ourselves to be puffed up that we were some mighty big Christian and we got somebody fixed up and right for God. We couldn't do that. God can only do that. So number one, we're His servants. Number two, all the goods belong to Him. And then it goes on and says, unto one He gave 5 talents. See, we're going to mess this up because we're going to get caught up in the numbers here. God, it's kind of like the little kids. Well, they got 3 pieces of candy. How come I only got 2? They got, 5 M&Ms. Now I'm going to get you thinking about candy. If I get you thinking about candy too much, I can give you a sucker downstairs. I keep suckers. I won't tell you what kind of sucker I give people. I give them, they're dum-dums. I give out dum-dum suckers. They're good too. Yeah, Billy knows. He's had a few. So I don't know what that says, if you take one or not, but by the way, I've ate a few myself, so let's go on. So now the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We want to hear the well done statement. We don't want to hear, I never knew you. Those are two separate ends of the scale. So what are we doing to make sure that doesn't happen? So now he's giving out in verse 15. He gave 1 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Please don't start acting like the flesh people of the world and tell God He's not fair. Well, one got this, and another got that, and another got this, and I want that. God says He knows our abilities. It is all His, and we need to let God be God. So then the one that received 5 talents, he went and traded and made 5 more talents. The message is not how much you make. It's about being productive. Please know that. Likewise, the one who had received 2, he also gained 2 more. God multiplies. Anything of God multiplies. Anything of man is not going to multiply. So now we get down to the next one. But he that received 1 went and dug in the earth, and he hid it. Let me tell you what God gets upset about. Hiding His gifts and His talents. Wasn't there a man of God in the Bible that said, it's like fire shut up in my bones? He was saying, I cannot no longer hide what was given inside of me. Do you know it's wrong for us to hold salvation in ourselves and never tell somebody else about salvation? God does not want you to come to heaven, and when He says, did you ever witness and tell anybody about my goodness in your life? And you said, no, I held it all to myself. It was so good. The spiritual gifts of God are not selfish. The Bible is not selfish. God is not selfish. The Garden of Eden was not selfish. He planted a garden. God always expected more than enough for one person. He was always going to give more to someone else. There's a lot of garden lessons in Genesis. I love going back there. But one thing that he gets upset about is when you hide what he gave you. He gave every one of us something. He gave every one of us something. And it's going to be between you and God as to what you do with that something God gave you. This individual said, I'm going to dig a hole, put it in the earth. The earth does not need God's spiritual gifts. People do. We need to spread this gospel. I know this is a lot of times taken over investments and monies, but it's a lot much deeper than just what you do with your money. Yes, we need to include what we do with our money give it to God so he can multiply it in his kingdom and all those things. But he's talking about the gift and the talents, the spiritual things, and all of that. It's not just about using it to teach people about being good stewards of finances. I know this passage is used for that, in my opinion, way too much. I think there's a lot more there. A lot more there. And so now the Lord comes back. Remember, he went on a far journey. How many of you know that Jesus is right now seated at the right hand of the Father? He went on a far journey. He came from heaven. He went to heaven. But he's coming again. And just like this ruler of this kingdom who went to his own and said, I'm going to divide out the gifts. Did Jesus not tell us these things that I do, even greater things than this you will do? When I go, it's to your advantage, because when I go, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will send us yet another Comforter who is the Holy Spirit, and you and I to accomplish more than Jesus by himself in ministry. We, as a body in ministry, are to accomplish much more. And because of the obedience of the body of Christ, the world is hearing the message and the gospel of Jesus tonight. So you understand that there is a time. Timing is in this. Master's here, master leaves. Master gives to his own, gives responsibility, words and deed. Remember, word and deed. He has record books in heaven. He's looking at our words and deeds. We can't do any good works and deeds without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And now we have our own book of Acts that we're living out. So what are we doing? Are we going to be like the one who dug in the ground, threw it away, and said, I'll sit on it, and someday I'm going to go dig it up, and I might try to do something with it? It's probably going to be too late. Here comes the master back, and let's listen in on the scriptures. I'm looking now at verse 20. Let's look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know what he's doing? He's getting ready to open up the books. But he was gone a long time. 2,000 years have been past the time of Christ being crucified. That's a long time. So he's about to come. And then he says, he that had received 5 talents, he called them together. And that one brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you gave unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. What's the Lord say? The Lord said unto him, well done. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Remember, obedience is the finishing touch of the race. He had to be obedient to gain anything more than what was given to him. God will start the process in our life. Obedience in the Lord will get you to finish and show God that you're not empty in spirit. And so the Lord said, well done. Then he went to the one who had 2 talents and came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said the exact same thing. He did not hesitate. He did not compare and say, well, the one who had 5, I got to be more abundant to him than the one I gave 2. No, he said the exact same thing. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, here's all the excuses that we're going to give God. Verse 24. You might want to highlight this one and make it part of your prayer and say, God, I do not want to be found making excuses when I stand before you. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Another way to say that is God is a just God, and he is going to reward accordingly. So he's not going to let anything go. is going to be hard. He's going to be hard on somebody that doesn't receive it. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strown. Verse 25 says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Church, fear is not going to be an excuse that's going to get by with God in heaven when we say, when he says, what did you do? He's going to come calling back on us and say, the talent I gave you, what did you do with it? Lord, I was afraid. Afraid of what? Fear is the number one thing that fights faith. Things that God gives to us in talent is faith-based. Yes, he will use to a degree your natural abilities, but he made you a person and gave you certain characteristics that will flow stronger in the gifts and talents of faith. But your faith gift is not going to be as easy as your natural gift that you just enjoy doing. God has put a spiritual gift inside of you that will only be activated by faith. The opposite of faith is fear. Therefore, the enemy puts fear out on the table every day and says, don't do what God asked you to do. I'm embarrassed to stand in front of people. I could never tell anybody on the phone about the Lord. I could never come to the altar. I could never hold a revival. I could never sing before the church. All these things of fear, this is the place where this person is. Fear is going to rob people from doing anything with their talent. How are you going to overcome the fear? Know that greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Fear is a weapon that's been formed against the church. God, we can't believe for you to help us financially. Oh, yes, we can. God, we can't believe that you're going to send new families and new laborers to help us. Oh, yes, we can. Let's not be fearful. Let's not be fearful. God's on my spirit right now saying this loud to the church. Let's not be fearful. We are not the little puny church that God can't multiply. We're not the little bitty train that's going to have trouble getting down the tracks. God has put Holy Spirit power in the vessel of this church and in you and in me. And I believe by the power of the living God, there is revival fire burning on the altars of this church, and bodies are going to continue to be healed. Sickness is going to be ran out of town. Sinners are going to come and find Jesus as their Savior. Fear is going to be broke in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray right now for the spirit of fear to be gone. Lord, I pray right now supernatural release on every gift and talent that is in the body of Christ. Father, there's going to be new things being risen up because of the faith that's rising up in the spirit of man right now based on the Word of God. Lord, you gave the gift and you gave the talent unto your children. And Father, if you equip us and you give us that talent, then the power of the Holy Spirit will cause us to flow in that gift. Hallelujah. You call somebody, yanda mosi, yanda mosi. Lord, I praise you right now. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Demons and devils, you got no right over any vessel, anybody, any being in this place tonight. Hallelujah. I begin to pray over sound mind. I begin to pray right now that fear cannot torment in the middle of the night. I begin to pray right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, right now. Church, God is releasing faith and replacing it over the top of fear and kicking fear out tonight. I don't know what you're afraid of tonight, but I think you need to step in and be obedient in the Lord and maybe stand up and claim your faith in him tonight and get off of this fear thing and believe God's going to do something with you no matter what your age is, no matter what your talent is, no matter what your gift is, no matter what side of the tracks you live on, no matter where you are in life. God wants to use you tonight. I just believe by faith. Why don't you stand up right now and begin to praise God and let fear leave your being right now and get it out of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no fear over our Sunday school classes. There is no fear over the ministry of God in this church. Hallelujah. There is no fear over talking to strangers and inviting them to come and be in this house of God. Hallelujah. If you need a healing tonight, I believe God is chasing out the fear of not ever being able to hear a good report from the doctor. I want you to come up while the Holy Spirit is moving. I want to pray with you tonight because faith is being released in this place. I am not going to allow cancer to win over souls that belong to Jesus. I'm not going going to allow depression to sit in and ruin families and cause people to run and hide under a rock somewhere when God says, get out and be in the sunlight and do what I've called you to do. Come on, there's somebody in this house tonight that needs an answer, needs a blessing, needs a breakthrough. You need to come to the altar. Hallelujah. Put on some music. God said it's no longer a Bible study. It's a demonstration. You hear me? God said it's no longer a Bible study. It's a demonstration of the power of God tonight. If you need salvation, I'm talking about real blood-bought salvation. I'm not talking about a little card that says you gave your life to Jesus. I'm not passing out any cards tonight. But if you are sick of your life, if you are sick of being depressed, if you are sick of being in bondage, you need to step out. Young, old, middle-aged, people who have been used of God, people who have not been used of God, there's something in you. There's healing in this place tonight. God's forgiveness is here. Maybe your life is so out of order. Stop pretending like you know Jesus and get in there and know Him with all your heart. You remember the love of God on your heart once. Don't rebel. He gave you the grace to get in the race. He gave you His Holy Spirit so you could stay on pace. He's calling you to obedience that you might finish the race. Now I know why God gave me that. See, God's a simple God. You don't have to have a lot of intelligence and a lot of hours in Bible study to get that. He gave us the grace to put us in the race. He gave us the Holy Spirit that we might walk in the right pace. Now, right now, is obedience. Do you want to finish? We got to get off of this thing of sitting and get up and start doing. There's a world that's dying. Marriages are dying. Children are rebelling. Babies are suffering. Babies are suffering. Can I tell you what a broken home and an arguing home and all of that is doing to children? It is feeding raw fear into their being. And by the time they're old enough to walk and talk, they don't even have any hope. They cringe. You hear me tonight? If you're in a home that's cussing and being defiled in the house around young children, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Can I tell you that the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord, and every born child belongs to God, and God entrusts that child to parents? And there isn't enough gold in all the world to replace a child. And yet we're living in a world where they're shaking babies to death because they're crying in the middle of the night and they can't handle it. Boyfriends are slapping little babies till they're brain dead. Mothers are dropping babies off in garbage bags. What is wrong? It's time to come to Calvary. It's time to come to Calvary. How many more people are going to die on drug overdose? church, all I can do is beg you to come. The Holy Spirit does not make mistakes. We make them. He doesn't make them. He's the one that said the Bible study's over. He said, I'm here to demonstrate who I am. Hallelujah. God, let them let go. Let them let go, Lord Jesus. Don't let them stay in their fear. I want you to cut the music. I feel impressed of the Lord that God is saying, I want every vessel to be ultimately and still and quiet. There is a distraction in the spirit realm. The slightest noise has been holding someone. But I want us, I've never experienced this. But I know that there was a place in Scripture where God said it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the fire, but it was in the still small voice. I don't know how long we'll be able to hold silence. But I want to, when I say be silent, I want every vessel in this place to be silent. In that silence, God is going to speak directly to a heart. When He moves on that heart, you have to make a decision. If He says to you, I have healing for you tonight, you need to come. If He says you need salvation and you know you need my salvation, you need to come. If He says you are the one that's been bound with fear, I've given you a talent and you have not used it, and you're afraid, you need to come. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, you need to come. I'm asking, and I believe this with all my heart, if someone purposely disrupts this part of the service, God will deal with you. Because He is touching hearts right now. There is life and death in the spirit realm going on right now. Church, let's begin our silence.